So what can usefully be done in prisons? David Wilson again.
It's about remaining focused about what we can do as a prison service in terms of offender behaviour and treatment programmes which tackle directly why people were coming into prison in the first place. Tackling things to do with addictions, either drug or alcohol, tackling issues to do with a specific offending behaviour, giving them the opportunity to make change. And that's the big thing that I would say about prison. Prison at its best offers opportunities to people. The best prisons offer the most opportunities.
Grendon is a Category B prison which is run as a therapeutic community. Most of its prisoners have committed offences of violence, and many are serving life sentences. Governor Tim Newell.
What we have demonstrated through the 32 years of Grendon's work is that when people are given an opportunity to actually take responsibility for themselves and seek to change the direction of their lives, with the support of a community of fellow prisoners who also thinking along those lines, and with the help of a few skilled and dedicated staff, it is possible to achieve communities in which real change can take place. And the evidence is that both from immediate behaviour patterns within the prison setting, there are remarkable changes in people's behaviour. And secondly, the evidence is of a long-term change in people's eventual likelihood of reconviction.
Governors Wilson and Newell argue that for prisons to work, they must provide opportunities for change. But would their favoured prisons look austere enough to satisfy the Home Secretary or the press?
What we provide within Grendon are five small communities of 40 prisoners in each community and some 15 staff. Each individual has an accountability to the community for their behaviour, for the work which they do. They have areas of discretion in organising the activity of the wing and making decisions about the wing, and certain power is delegated to that community in order to organise its time. But the main purpose of people coming here is to examine their past and their present behaviours in order to improve themselves in their day-to-day functioning with each other, and eventually in the long term, hopefully, to address their offending behaviour through that process. We try, through the process of providing this environment, to eliminate fear which exists in most other prison settings, because it's only through being able to trust each other, and particularly to trust staff, that people can begin to be honest about very painful early experiences they have had, very painful current experiences. The experience of deprivation of one's liberty is not an easy experience to go through, and we take that for granted quite often, many of us working in prisons. But in Grendon, people are actually able to express what it feels like to lose your freedom. As in many other places, it's something that you can't really expose and can't deal with because it is so painful that you may not be able to handle the anger and the frustration, the tears which flow from that deprivation which you're experiencing.
The way I felt when I first came inside was that I was forgotten, that nothing was going to be done for me. I was the big bad boy, which I was, but I was never going to be allowed to forget that. That it was going to be continuously drummed into me in a very forceful manner from the day I got in there to the day I got out. That doesn't do anything for your own self-esteem if you're trying to break out of that, or if the people working within the system are trying to get you to change. If you've got part of that system, it's continuously putting you down with a sort of a thumb on your head. So what happened is that I was going out there, even though I said, like loads of inmates would say, oh, you'll never see me again. You have those sort of good intentions. But the underlying thing, the thing that makes you tick, hasn't really changed. And maybe has got worse, as I said. And the next thing you know, you're reoffending again. If you haven't had that help at those initial stages of coming inside as a raw recruit to prison, say, you can go out and not realise the basic faults that you have, unless they've been sort of pointed out, you know. So you're going out no better than what you were when you came in. I think Grendon's changed that, and as much in the way I'm talking about how I perceive myself and the way the system is running now. I would never have looked at things like that in that depth before. I would never have looked at myself in that depth before. I never saw the need. I always felt that really the world owed me a living for past grievances that were quite genuine, that had been committed to me, you know. And I'd never got over that. I'd always had a hang-up about that. I'd always felt that I needed my pound of flesh, consequently my offending behaviour, because I didn't get my pound of flesh. And one of the things Grendon's helped me to realise is to make me look back at my past, see where things stem from, why they've happened the way they have, and why I've carried them on, and then learn to change things about my here and now attitude to life, to people, to myself. So these are the things Grendon's given me, the chance to change and to grow and to become a little bit more of a more rounded, normal human being.
This certainly isn't a soft option. It superficially sometimes does appear to be a rather easy place to be in. And that's because in order for the prison to work, there has to be an open and good communication between people. And so there is a friendship between staff and prisoners, which is not evident in many other prisons. But if you actually ask prisoners of their experience, they would say, and they have said to me, that this experience at Grendon has been the hardest period of their custodial experience, because they cannot avoid responsibility for what they have done. And the prime responsibility which men here have to accept is that they have created victims in the past, and that they have been dangerous and damaging people, and that it's their behaviour that did that. There may be all sorts of reasons for that behaviour, but in order to make progress, they have to accept that they are the people who need to do something about this. No one else can.
One of the distinctive features of Grendon is that prisoners volunteer to go there, and a condition of their staying is that they agree to give up a number of the traditional consolations of prison: drugs, alcohol, sex, violence, gambling.
Well, I wasn't into drugs anyway, I mean, so that's never been my forte. Alcohol was the big thing for me. Yeah, and that's hard, especially in other institutions where you can, there's hooch alcohol going around. That can be hard. I mean, say it can be hard not to want to take somebody in the recess and punch him on the nose because he's upsetting you, if you're that way inclined. It can be hard not to sort of drink yourself into oblivion because it makes it easier for the day to go by rather than to suffer all the sort of, you know, the stupid things that happen in prison. And that can be awkward at times. The close friendships some men have with each other can be hard when they have to open them up and analyse them. Yeah, I can see all those. Of course they're hard. But then again, what's going to be harder? Is it going to be harder to continuously come back inside and maybe die inside as an old man and create no end of more victims outside? I mean, so I would have thought that was far harder than to give up drink for 18 months, 2 years, whatever the case may be. I mean, I'd sooner do without all those sort of things rather than to create more victims outside, you know.
Perhaps it's a matter of exchanging the pains and illicit pleasures of the classic austere institution for the challenges of greater responsibility. But does it all work? And how can we tell? Psychologist Eric Cullen.
We actually see the changes for ourselves in the men. They actually report the changes themselves as well, that they're feeling better about themselves, that they gradually take on more responsibility, that they're reassured and reinforced by that, whether it's within the community, being a chairman or a representative of the community, or going off to education and trying to achieve more qualifications. And we also assess it in terms of the lowest rate of institutional offending of practically any comparable prison in the country, certainly the lowest rate of any Cat B prison, and one of the half dozen or so lowest rates every year, year after year, of any of the 134 or 5 prisons in the country. But most critically, we actually assess how well we're achieving our objectives, I think, ultimately, by lower rates of reoffending, fewer victims. And essentially, the critical point I would make there is that almost every man who comes here has failed miserably and demonstrably in relationships. They are destructive in relationships. And we focus on interpersonal skills. We focus on building relationships. And uniquely in the prison system, when you concentrate on improving people's interpersonal skills and helping them gain insight into where they've gone wrong in the marriages and whatever it is, whatever relationship it is, they achieve a greater sense of peace, of self-confidence, and resolve to have no more victims.
Grendon, as yet, is a special place for people who pose a serious danger to others, and all the therapeutic effort reflects that. Most people might agree both that prison works in securely confining those people, and that there is a need for serious work to address their behaviour. When prison governors speak of the need to focus their work, this is what they mean. But the greater part of the prison population is not of this kind, and here the consensus breaks down. What of the wayward youth, the mentally ill, the persistent minor property offender, for whom problems of literacy, employment, housing and addiction are more salient to their offending behaviour and their life chances? These are the sorts of people that magistrates see and sentence every day.
What we're talking about are people that are sent to prison for whom we would like to have an alternative. We do have alternatives. We have community sentences. We have the facilities to treat alcoholics, drug addicts, schizophrenics, all of whom find themselves in prison. What we don't have is the will on the part of either the Home Secretary, the government, or society to treat people in that way.
We are faced with some fundamental problems, not just about the role of prisons, but about our very ideas of punishment.
A lot of my job as a prison governor is about trying to explain to the public why they should be engaging with prisoners, what advantages there are for them in engaging with prisoners and the prison service. Because at the end of the day, with very rare exceptions, everybody who's currently inside as a prisoner will come out back into the community. And if they come out in some way in a better position to engage more positively with the community, then that benefits us all.
We do use imprisonment as a punishment. We don't send people to prison for punishment. I think we're in a slightly confused ideological era, and people have very contradictory demands. I think the public have contradictory demands. If they think about what they want is less crime, but what they also want emotionally is revenge. And I think we get all those sorts of feelings tangled up, and the two things can't be done in the same way.
This is the end of side 2, D315, audio cassette 2.